This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Now that America is importing most of the ingredients in our prescription drugs and the majority of the foods we eat, it's important to look behind the label. It may or may not tell you where the products come from. Your prescription drugs may be coming from communist China. Drug research in China has fallen under a cloud because 13 of the top 20 global drug makers have set up research and development centers in China. Yes, it's cheaper to do research there, but as one auditor said, with cheaper research comes greater risk. For example, researchers did not report the results of animal studies about a drug already being tested in humans, a breach described by the drug researchers as a mortal sin. Auditors also report that Chinese workers did not properly monitor clinical trials, and they paid hospitals in ways that could be seen as bribery. Free trade is bringing us fish raised in China's six rivers. By the time the fish swim to the fish ponds, the water has been accumulating raw sewage, agricultural pesticides, and the heavy metal output of poorly regulated industrial plants. China's planned purchase of pork producer Smithfield Foods for $4.5 billion has U.S. officials concerned about how this could affect the safety and availability of heparin. That's an important blood thinner derived from pig intestines that is widely used in U.S. heart surgery and kidney dialysis. In 2007 and 8, 94 Americans died after being treated with contaminated heparin. An increasing percentage of vaccines is manufactured in China and sold in U.S. pharmacies. China boasts of 30 vaccine-producing companies that will soon be producing 1 billion doses a year.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Want your voice heard? At eagleforum.org, in a blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, we want to hear your firsthand experience with the U.S. unemployment crisis. Where did the jobs go? Is the solution more government spending or cutting taxes? Join the blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had 3 bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair. At bugoutpanama.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
skipped the hardest-hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Welcome to the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right, broadcasting nationwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Righting the Right is your chance to call in and comment on constitutional, conservative, Christian, or capitalist issues. Call in now at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Now here's your host, Patriot Glenn Pav.
And good morning. Welcome to the third hour of the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right. We are here on the making of America, and that is our third hour is on our constitutional study. As we continue, we're going to be talking about the Declaration of Independence today. But first, let's take a look at the book, as I like to do that on a regular basis. A look at the book, James chapter 5. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will also be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, my friends, and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effectual prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. He gives then an example. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, a sinful nature specifically, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, my brethren, he concludes, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I love that last part because that's what we're seeking to do. I was a former pastor for 25 years in Bible churches throughout the Midwest and have been in full-time Christian work all my life. I'm a business chaplain right now with Marketplace Chaplains USA. And I cover over a half a dozen various different businesses whose CEOs have chosen to give a third-party benefit package to all of their employees. And that benefit package is chaplains. Chaplains in the business, in the workplace environment. And that's what Marketplace Chaplains is doing. We are doing this throughout the country. 2,900 of us are doing this to 4,400 businesses throughout the country, including their branches. So it's even more than 4,400 locations. It's been an effective way to do things, and we are excited about that effectiveness along the way. And being on the air right now, you know, being on the radio right now is important for me as I talk to you about looking at the book. Because if I let you know that if anyone strays from the truth, but one is willing to find the truth and turn back from that truth, as I continue on the radio. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And so, folks, this is impactful. I want to turn you. Of course, you have to turn yourself. You have to be willing yourself. I cannot force you. I can only give you the Word of God. I could only show you what you could feed on the rest of your life. And that is the truth, the absolute truth, the whole truth of the Bible. It is so practical. They call it the Living Bible. Living, small L. Not speaking of the Living Bible translation. But it is living. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even joint and marrow. Going to the heart. It speaks of principles. It speaks of application to our lives all the time because it's God's love letter to us. And so take it for what it's worth. It's worth eternal life. Now, I do not worship the Bible. It's God's love letter to us, but I do worship God, the Heavenly Father, the architect of the creation, and His Son, Jesus Christ, the infinite God-man who came to die for our sins on the cross. And as we did that, and as we do that, I also worship the Holy Spirit of God who indwells the believer now that Christ is back physically with the Father in heaven. But He'll come soon for believers. Will you be ready for this? The question is, will you be ready for this? Oh, that's a look at the book this morning as we have finished the book of James. And we'll continue on with the book of 1 John in the days ahead as we look at the book. An interesting verse. Christ said this, John 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You know, the average church knows more about promotion than prayer. We need to get back to prayer. Leonard Ravenhill is known as having said that. Jesus Christ is known as having said, abide in me, and my words, the Word of God, the Bible, abide in you. Let it dwell in you. Let it make a difference in your life. You know, we go to a job and they say, why do you want this job? I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference, huh? Jesus Christ said, you want to make a difference. Let the Word of God dwell in your heart richly, teaching and admonishing you in words and deeds and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Oh, that's a look at the book this morning. Thank you so much for joining me on the Glenn Pav Show, Writing the Right. Let's now begin our study on the Declaration of Independence. First, let's look at the events leading up to this independence. Jefferson was caught up in the sphere of independence that rose sharply throughout the colonies during the spring of 1776. In 1776, Thomas Paine, who had arrived in America only 2 years earlier, published a pamphlet called Common Sense. I've read it. And in which he advocated immediate independence. More than 120,000 copies in that day, that's quite a bit. 120,000 copies of his pamphlet were sold in a short time, a phenomenal circulation for those days. George Washington said that this little pamphlet, Common Sense, worked a powerful change in the minds of many men. On March 17, 1776, Washington's forces liberated Boston. On May 14, 1776, Rhode Island jumped the gun and declared independence all by her little self. On May 10, 1776, Congress authorized each colony to set up its own government independent of the crown because the king said he had disowned them. That was King George III in England. On May 14, 1776, Jefferson arrived in Philadelphia as a delegate to Congress, but his heart was in Virginia, where the House of Burgesses was trying to decide what kind of constitution a free people should have. Jefferson almost missed writing the Declaration of Independence by requesting permission to return to Virginia to work on the new constitution for that state. His request was denied. On June 7, 1776, Richard Henry Lee introduced a resolution. He was calling upon the colonies to declare themselves free and independent states. The final vote was postponed until some of the delegates could return home for instructions. They agreed to return by July 2nd. On June 11, 1776, a special committee was appointed to write a formal declaration of independence. The members included Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, John Adams of Massachusetts, Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania, and Roger Sherman of Connecticut, as well as Robert Livingston of New York. We'll talk next about the writing of the Declaration of Independence on the Glenn Pabst Show, Writing the Right, 16 minutes after the hour.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, DO, and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
What are you thinking? Micro plant powder with iodine and probiotics for a total body detox for around $10 a month. HempUSA.org has 12 formulations of micro plant powder for absorbing and removing toxins from your kidneys, liver, blood, lungs, stomach, and colon, and feel better than ever. It alkalizes, oxygenates, kills parasites, does the job of 10 products. That saves you space, time, and money. Call 888-910-4367 only at HempUSA.org.
Get the hardest-hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
Welcome back to the Glenn Pabst Show, Writing the Right, as we continue with the Declaration of Independence, the writing of the Declaration of Independence now. A conversation between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson was recorded by Adams as followed. Quote, Jefferson proposed to me to make the draft. I said, I will not. You should do it. So Jefferson said, oh no, why will you not? You ought to do it, said Jefferson. Adams replied, I will not. Jefferson, why? Adams, reasons enough. Jefferson, what can be your reasons? Adams, reason first. You are a Virginian, and a Virginian ought to appear at the head of this business. Reason second. I am obnoxious, suspected, and unpopular. You are very much otherwise. Reason third, you can write 10 times better than I can. Jefferson's comment. Well, if you are decided, I will do as well as I can. He did pretty well as far as I'm concerned. Well, for 17 days, Jefferson worked on the draft, with nearly all of the time being spent on the first two paragraphs. The charges against King George, which took up most of the draft, were copied almost entirely from the drafts of his Constitution of Virginia and his summary view of the rights of British America. This would not have required more than one day. What was he doing the other 16 days? Well, Jefferson's great anxiety seems to have been to get into the Declaration of Independence the most basic elements of the ancient principles mentioned in his proposed drafts for the Virginia State Constitution. Here are the 8 ancient principles which Jefferson incorporated in the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence. These are rounded out in some of his subsequent writings to provide a fuller understanding of each principle. Number one, sound government should be based on self-evident truths. That is, truths that are so obvious, truths that are so rational, truths that are so morally sound that their authenticity is beyond reasonable dispute. Second, the government of mankind here on earth should be based on the law of nature and of nature's gods. This presupposes, as a self-evident truth, that the Creator made human beings equal. In what ways, you might add? Well, equal in their rights, equal before the law, equal in the sight of God. Number four, the rights which have been bestowed by the Creator on each individual are unalienable. That is, they cannot be taken away or violated without the offender coming under the judgment and wrath of God. A person may have other rights, such as those which have been created as a vested right by a statute. But vested rights are not unalienable. They can be altered or eliminated at any time, but not unalienable rights. Number five. Among the most important of the unalienable rights are the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to pursue whatever course of life a person may desire in search of happiness, property, and peace, so long as it does not invade the rights of others. Number six, the most basic reason for a community or a nation to set up a system of government is to assure its inhabitants that these special rights of the people shall be protected and preserved. Number seven, and because this is so, it follows that no office or agency of government has any right to exist except with the consent of the people or their representatives. And finally, number eight, it also follows that if a government, either by malfeasance or neglect, fails to protect those rights, or even worse, if the government itself begins to violate those rights, then it is the right and duty of the people to regain control of their affairs and set up a form of government which will serve the people better. Wow. 8 ancient principles Jefferson incorporated in the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence. This is awesome. What happened? Well, on July 4th, 1776, Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence after making, get this, not 5, not 10, not 15, not 20, 60 changes, but not deleting a single one of Jefferson's ancient principles. Wow. Jefferson was not originally identified as the author. The identity of the signers was also kept concealed for several months for fear of retaliation by the British. Remember, this was July 4th, 1776. All those who subscribed to the Declaration figuratively signed the document with their blood. In support of the Declaration, they had mutually pledged our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Had they lost the Revolutionary War, they would, no doubt, have been tried and summarily convicted of high treason. The penalty for high treason was to be hanged from the gallows until unconscious, then cut down and revived, then disemboweled and beheaded, then cut into quarters, each quarter to be boiled in oil and the residue spread over the countryside so that the last resting place of the offender would be forever unnamed, unhonored, and unknown. That was the penalty for high treason. The founders reveal the source of the ancient principles now. After writing the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson was appointed to a special committee with Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, to prepare an official seal for the United States. This is really interesting. Both Jefferson and Franklin suggested that one side of the seal portray Moses leading ancient Israel, since the Israelites had the historical distinction of being the most ancient people to practice the principles of representative government. They felt that since the Anglo-Saxons had practiced almost identical principles, they also should be represented on the other side of the seal. Here's what Adams wrote about it. Mr. Jefferson proposed the children of Israel in the wilderness, led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and on the other side, Hengist and Horsa, the Saxon chiefs from whom we claim the honor of being descended and whose political principles and form of government we have assumed. That's what the original proposal for the seal of the United States was, suggested by Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. Well, Professor Gilbert Chouinard, one of the distinguished biographers of Jefferson, states this, quote, Jefferson's great ambition at that time was to promote a renaissance of Anglo-Saxon primitive institutions on the new continent. Thus presented, the American Revolution was nothing but the reclamation of the Anglo-Saxon birthright of which the colonists had been deprived by a long train of abuses. In his summary view of the rights of British America, Jefferson wrote that their Saxon ancestors had possessed themselves of the island of Britain and had established there that system of laws which has so long been the glory and protection of that country. So on August 13, 1776, Jefferson wrote to Edmund Pendleton to convince him that Virginia must abolish the remnants of feudalism and return to the ancient principles that we just delineated, those eight principles that were from the ancients as well as in the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence. Here's what Jefferson wrote to Pendleton. Are we not better for what we have hitherto abolished of the feudal system? Has not every restitution of the ancient Saxon laws had happy effects? Is it not better now that we return at once into the happy system of our ancestors, the wisest and most perfect ever yet devised by the wit of man as it stood before the 8th century? Interesting questions. We'll take a look more at how it all came down, how the American Eagle became a part in the pyramid also. On the Glenn Pabb Show, Writing the Right, on the history and the making of America. Declaration of Independence. Let's keep writing the right.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I was recently told that if people truly believe in what they are doing, they would not hesitate to ask for help, and I truly concur. United We Stand was the motto of the 13 colonies. It must be ours today, my friend. We must become a church united to see the restoration of America, to once again be a shining city on a hill, a beacon to guide the world. We must believe the impossible and embrace to challenge. What if David had cowered when Goliath challenged? What if Esther had refused her destiny? What if Samson had believed his indiscretions could halt the mighty power of God? What if Ronald Reagan had listened to his advisors and not uttered those now famous words, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down these walls"? What happens if we refuse our moment to win? Patrick Henry cried out to his fellows with these now famous words, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Like Patrick, it is time for us to become the patriots God has ordained us to be. The days of sitting on the sidelines waiting for others to stand have passed. It's our time, our calling, our glorious blessing to be chosen for such a time as this. We must unite to take back our nation. We must begin the quest of reclaiming our nation. If Satan can usurp what isn't his, then we can, as God's army, take back what God has given. Pastors, you have the opportunity to be the black robe regiment of our day. Lead your flocks instead of sending your flocks. Embrace the moment. If you, the Christians of America, called by God, desire to be part of this effort to reclaim our heritage, contact us at The Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right, and let us know you desire to be a part of this united effort. We will begin the process of connecting the dots. With the aid of divine providence, we will prevail. Stand with The Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right, in prayer, in participation, in sponsorship, in monetary help and encouragement. Your generosity has paved the way to this point. Please help us again. Any gift would be welcomed. Prayers and encouragement will be a blessing. I believe in this mission, and I hope you will partner with us in reclaiming America. God bless you, and thank you for all you have done and what you will do in the future. For more, go to writingtheright.com. That's R-I-G-H-T, writingtheright.com. Thank you.
My life verse is 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of our instruction is love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. My friend, God bless you. Hello, my friend. I'm Glenn Pav of The Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right, heard weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's prime time on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You could also listen live on the web at writingtheright.com, spelled R-I-G-H-T both times. That's writingtheright.com. And join me this week with my guests and co-hosts. That's The Glenn Pav Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, prime time on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And folks, let's keep writing the right.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous.
Welcome back to the Glenn Pav Show at 34 minutes after the hour right now. We have been talking about the Declaration of Independence and the impact that it had been. And we were talking about the seal, the adopted seal that they were, the original proposal that Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin had. Well, Congress eventually adopted a seal with the American Eagle on the one side and an unfinished pyramid of 13 steps on the other. That was representing the 13 original colonies and copied from the 55th or $50 bill of the Continental Currency used during the Revolutionary War, by the way. At the bottom of the pyramid were inscribed the Roman numerals for 1776, and the all-seeing eye of the Creator appeared at the top. This was the silver dollar. And there were also two classical Latin mottos, Annuit Coeptis, which means he hath favored our undertaking, and Novus Ordo Seclorum, which means new order of the ages or beginning of a new age. So the Centennial Medal of the official seal of the United States was adopted in 1782. The founders basically learned grand lessons from the past as they were preparing the Declaration of Independence and soon later, in 12 years, the Constitution of the United States after the Revolutionary War. They had a political spectrum, the founders did. Part of the genius of the Founding Fathers was that their political spectrum or their political frame of reference was really a matter of genius. They had a much better political yardstick than the one which is generally used today, unfortunately. You see, if the founders had used the modern yardstick of communism on the left and fascism on the right, they never would have found the balanced center which they were seeking. Modern political philosophy measures the issues in terms of political parties instead of political power. Today's popular view is communism on the extreme left and fascism is on the extreme right. People and parties are often called leftists or rightists. And this has been a confusing political spectrum. Well, measuring people and issues in terms of political parties is misleading and grows more confusing over time. Today's left versus right spectrum charts communism and fascism as opposites, but in practice they are both similar police states. They're both tyranny. George Washington described the human struggle wherein there is a natural and necessary progression from the extreme of anarchy to the extreme of tyranny. Thomas Jefferson emphasized the same point when he said this: "We are now vibrating between too much and too little government, and the pendulum will rest finally in the middle." The American founders measured political systems in terms of the amount of coercive power or systematic control which a particular system of government exercises over its people. In other words, the yardstick is not political parties, but political power. The farthest to the left that you go is tyranny, with 100% government control over everything, which has been tried and failed every time concerning communism, fascism. The far right with zero government is certainly anarchy with no control over anything. And so the founders knew from sad experience that the foremost enemy of freedom and self-government is what they called ruler's law, with its power base of central government hanging menacingly over the people. That's what Obama, the Democrat, socialist, progressives, and Republican establishment are moving to. Ruler's law. The more the government controls you, my friend, the more the tyrant rules and does executive orders without opposition from Congress, from either Republican, Democrat, or even independence. So the ruler's law, think about that on the far left. That's 100% government. That's tyranny. All power is in the ruler. And if you would look at a pyramid, it would be upside down pyramid with the point on the bottom. The power and the largest part of the area is national power. Then a little less power in the state, a little less in the community, a little less in the family, and very little in the individual. That's called ruler's law. Now, the founders had studied ruler's law and knew its chief characteristics. Here are some of them. Authority under ruler's law is nearly always established by force, conquest, or legislative usurpation. We're seeing that happen today. Therefore, all power is concentrated in the ruler. The people are treated as subjects of the ruler. So the ruler is the elite. And we are the subjects, if you will. The entire country is considered to be the property of the ruler, and he speaks of it as his realm. Now keep in mind, that would be with 100% ruler's law, with 100% under the ruler himself. We don't have that, but we are moving closer and closer to that as every day progresses. The people have no unalienable rights in ruler's law. The king gives, and the king taketh away. Government is by the whims of men, not by the fixed rule of law, which the people need in order to govern their affairs with confidence. The people are not equal, but are divided into classes. That's what Obama is trying to do. Left against right, Hispanic against another group. And dividing us up rather than uniting us. We're not equal. And because of the inequality of the past, special compensation for certain minority groups in the present. That's what Obama is seeking to do. He's seeking to be the tyrant with 100% control. That's why he's doing executive orders that are unconstitutional. That's why he's rewriting the laws or only following the laws he chooses to follow for his political advancement. People are not equal, but are divided into classes. The thrust of governmental power is from the top down, not from the people upward. This is ruler's law, tyranny. And the ruler issues edicts, which are called the law. How about executive orders? Executive orders, by the way, in the beginning of what a definition was for him in his executive branch to tell everybody else in his executive offices, under his jurisdiction as the CEO of that executive branch, what to do. It had nothing to do with making a law of the land outside of his executive office. In other words, it was like a memo from the CEO. You could only use Bic pens. We'll only use HP printers. And he would give executive orders. And that's what he would do. But no, it's been corrupted. And it's usurping the authority of other branches of government. And the imbalance of power is obvious. It's taking away from what the judges have come down with through the Supreme Courts and below. He's taken away from what Congress has legislated and passed laws, and he is changing those laws or seeking to only fulfill the enforcement of parts of laws. For example, over 36 times Obamacare has been changed by executive order. That is unconstitutional. He could be tried for treason for that if he were back in the 1700s. They found out that problems are typically solved by issuing new edicts in the idea of the 100% ruler's law. Creating more bureaus and appointing more administrators and charging the people more taxes to pay for these services. Sounds like the overregulation we have today. Under this system of ruler's law, taxes and government regulations are oppressive. Are we talking about 2014 or are we talking about 1776? And the answer is both. Freedom is never considered a viable solution to anything. The transfer of power from one ruler to another is often by violence. The dagger, the poison cup, or fratricidal civil war. We'll tell you more as we come back on our search for an ideal society. The Making of America on the Glenn Papp Show. Let's keep writing the right.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey, and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. www.takefromcaesar.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all. By mail, anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pabb, President and CEO of the Conservative Talk Network and the Glenn Pabb Show. I've coined the phrase, righting the right, to encourage us to move our country back to the right of center on the political and moral spectrum. Each letter, R-I-G-H-T, explains our stance. The R stands for reformation, the I stands for integrity, and now the G stands for godliness. Godliness is not only a work of faith, but also a state of mind. Prayer is absent from our schools. The Ten Commandments are being removed from our hallowed halls of justice. The American flag is being disrespected within by protesters on American soil. The Pledge of Allegiance, including one nation under God, is gradually silenced throughout the land. My friend, let's humble ourselves, pray and seek Him, and turn toward reformation from wickedness. Our second President of the United States said that our Constitution was written for a moral and religious people. I'm Glenn Pabb of the Conservative Talk Network. With godliness, let's keep righting the right. Hello, my friend. I'm Glenn Pabb of the Glenn Pabb Show, Righting the Right. I find that if I help a senior citizen walk safely across the street at a busy intersection, I find myself safely across as well. So I endeavor to help those individuals and families that are willing to help themselves. I believe it is very important that you consider an investment alternative than the unstable dollar, namely gold in small amounts. I've discovered a win-win combination, safe investment in gold for you and your family, and helping support the Glenn Pabb Show, Righting the Right, radio expansion. The plan is simple. Simply register for free on my website, writingtheright.com. Then discover what product or plan you and your family would like to invest in yourself. To learn more, go to writingtheright.com and click on the homepage icon, Gold Savings Club. It's free to join. So help support the radio show and take care of your family at the same time. It's a solid golden opportunity. Count on it. Let's cross the street together.
Keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change.
Welcome back to the Glenn Pabb Show. It's coming up to 49 minutes after the hour. We're talking about the difference of the spectrum, ruler's law on the left, with 100% government and tyranny, and no law on the far right, with 0% government and anarchy. And there were some principles of ruler's law, which we have delineated here. And the final one is this. The long history of ruler's law is one of blood and terror, both anciently and in modern times. Those in power revel in luxury, while the lot of the common people is one of perpetual poverty, excessive taxation, stringent regulations, and a continuous existence of misery. Well, Jefferson and the other founders hoped to find the golden mean in the center of the political spectrum. The idea was to have the governing power based in the people themselves, with a hierarchy of limited government serving them. The political structure they visualized would look something like this compared to the all power of the ruler or the ruler's law. Remember, it was an upside down pyramid for ruler's law, where all the power was in the national, and then less in the state, and lesser in the community, and lesser in the family, and the least in the individual. Well, here is what people's law is all about. It's in the center of the fulcrum. It's out almost like a fulcrum, where you have ruler's law at the 100% left, where our progressive socialists are abiding along with Obama. And we have most of the Democratic Party is ruled by that progressive tyrannical left. And on the far right, the no law, 0% government anarchy, but people's law was in the middle, and it looked like this. It was a pyramid too, but it was a pyramid with the largest base, the biggest, coming to a point at the top with the largest base consisting of the influence of the people, or hundreds of millions of individuals, and then less important, tens of millions of families, and less powerful, tens of thousands of communities, and then less powerful, thousands of counties, and less powerful, the several states, and the least powerful and the least amount, the federal government. That was people's law as they established it. That's what we need to get back to. In other words, we need to invert that pyramid from the tip on the bottom and the wide part on the top, which we have today in 2014, to the wide part on the bottom and the tip on the top. That's stability. Lesser government was proposed. Thomas Jefferson was one of the first to make the long pilgrimage into the past, trying to find the right answers to bring people's law to existence. Now, the government of ancient Israel was looked at. The Israelites came out of Egypt sometimes between 1490 and 1290 BC, and they were originally under ruler's law, which was the only system the people had known while in Egypt. The Pharaoh ruled. Moses found it impossible to govern the people effectively under this system. The record says that the people lined up from morning into evening to have Moses solve their problems. So it was that upside-down pyramid, as we talked about. Moses, as the leader, Moses was responsible for solving all the problems. It was the widest part of the pyramid. That included things like agriculture and bartering and census and clothing and complaints and construction and crafts and dairying and deaths and dying and discipline and education and employment and entertainment and farming and food and fuel and health and immigration and justice and livestock and maintenance and manufacturing and marriage and military and the religion and revenue and safety and sanitation and scribes and servants and shelter and shepherding and standards and storage and supplies and taxes and transportation and travel and water and welfare and on and on and on. That was one man, Moses. Less following in the rule were more than 600,000 families, and the individual had the least amount, more than 3 million people of influence. So Moses was trying to do this, and he couldn't. It's impossible. As I read off and reeled off all those areas where he had to judge, where he had to rule. Well, then came along Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, and he said, "You know, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, Moses, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." So Jethro then instructed Moses on the way he should organize this multitude of approximately 3 million people. Following the advice of Jethro, Moses divided the people, and consisted of about 600,000 families, into groups of 10 families each. Then he had each group elect a leader or judge to preside over them. And these small groups were combined in groups of 50 families, each of which also elected a leader. Then these larger groups were combined into companies of 100 families, and they too elected a leader. Finally, these combinations were formed into groups of 1,000 families, each of which again elected a leader. All of these leaders were to be able men, such as fear God, men of truth, and hating covetousness. Okay, that's what I'm looking for in candidates for the near upcoming election. Able men, such as fear God, men of truth, and hating covetousness. I'll take it from Exodus 18:21 every day. Now, by this means, The people were organized into small, manageable groups with elected rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And there was primarily emphasis on strong local self-government, with problems being solved at the local level where they originated. As the record says, the hard causes they brought to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. In due time, the organization of the people was set up as follows. The base of the pyramid was the widest, and the tip on the top was where Moses resided and judged. The base were more than 3 million people with power to govern themselves. Now, these numbers that I give you are approximate based on the census recorded in the first chapter of the book of Numbers. So the 3 million people with power to govern themselves was on the bottom of the pyramid, and less was more than 600 families in the 60,000 groups of 10 families, and the 12,000 groups of 50 families, and the 6,000 groups of 100 families, and it goes up to 600 groups of 1,000 families. And then smaller in the narrowing, elected representatives, and that's a Congress. And smaller yet, a Council of 70, and that was the Senate. And smaller yet, Aaron and Joshua, vice president over the military. And Aaron, the vice president over internal affairs. And then on the top of the peak was Moses. That's people's law and how they wanted to set that up. Fascinating, isn't it? That's what we need to get to back to, folks. That is exactly what we need to get back to. Well, we're going to continue our study on the making of America. We're going to look at the founders' lessons that they learned and how practical it is tomorrow on the third hour of our show. Then we're going to go into the development of people's law by the Anglo-Saxons and the lessons from the Greeks and the Romans that they learned. Aha! Let us learn from history, my friend. Let us learn from history. Well, thank you for listening to the Glenn Papp Show, Writing the Right. Our time is gone now. Tomorrow, join me for my Christian perspective on the news in the first hour, and then the Christian life and principles, the civil institutions of the United States in the second, and then the continuing making of America on the Constitution. On Friday, my special guest is local politics is Dr. Jessica Spencer on medical marijuana. It's all over the country, so you'll learn from the practical amendment that is happening here in Florida. So until then, on behalf of our expert co-hosts, our faithful sponsors, today's guest, and very special people that we have throughout the time, my studio engineer, Sam. This is your Patriot host, Glenn Papp, saying to my bride of 38 years, Melanie, and to you, my listening friend, God bless you. Keep writing the right. May God bless America. May America bless God. And by all means, my prayer, may God save the USA. If you'd like to learn more about Writing the Right and the Glenn Papp Show, go to writingtheright.com. Join us every weekday on the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Remember to download the podcast at writingtheright.com. Until then, this is Glenn Papp, your Patriot host, saying, keep writing the right.